Well, deep in a forest not far from Auckland, New Zealand, there's a stump of a once magnificent kauri tree. But inside this lifeless-looking stump, sap is still moving. A study published today in the journal Science suggests that the stump is sharing water with its neighbouring trees via a grafted root system. The researchers say their findings have implications for the way we understand and protect forest ecosystems. ABC Science editor Jonathan Webb is here with more. Hello, Jonathan.
Morning, Geraldine.
Now, tell us about this amazing kauri tree. How unusual to find a stump that's still alive.
Yeah, it's not unheard of, actually. Any of you listening at home who spend a lot of time in forests may have seen stumps that still seem to have some colour to them. Yeah, or yeah. Shoots. But this one in particular had no shoots, no leaves, no nothing. But did still have some indications that there was life there. And then when the scientists looked closer and, in fact, attached sensors to the stump. This is the way that you monitor sap flow in trees. You actually attach, in this case, it was temperature sensors, which allow you to monitor the flow of water from one in particular directions within the trunk of different trees. And they attached these to the stump, which didn't have any leaves or anything left, and also to neighbouring trees of the same species in the forest, more kauri trees nearby. And what they found that sap was indeed still flowing within the stump, but importantly, it matched the flow in the neighbouring tree. So if you think on a dry and warm day, for example, that's when the sap would usually flow upwards through the trunk of a tree because water is evaporating from the leaves through the process of transpiration. And when that was happening, the flow in the stump was low by comparison with the neighbouring trees. But in, say, the cool of the night, when there wasn't much transpiration happening, there was not much flow in the neighbouring trees and more flow in this stump. And they seem to be in lockstep like that, which suggests what the researchers have called hydraulic coupling. And it's the best concrete evidence we've had of this water really directly flowing between a stump, which is still alive, and neighbouring trees. They think through the roots actually being kind of grafted together under the ground.
Extraordinary. I mean, there's been a lot of talk of forest trees forming a so-called wood-wide web, which is just too cute.
It's a lovely term, isn't it?
To share resources and even communicate. So is this a big surprise?
So it's well known that, yeah, this wood-wide web, as it's termed, certainly exists, but it's often mediated by other organisms. There are fungi or microorganisms beneath the soil which pass chemicals, nutrients between trees, and even potentially allow them to sort of communicate and share kind of warning signals, if you like, within a community, within a forest. But this natural grafting of the roots beneath the soil is less well studied, and this is certainly the first time we've really quantified the direct exchange of water, of sap, between different trees, in particular a lifeless-looking stump and still living trees nearby. And the really interesting question is why? You can understand.
Why would you do it?
Yeah, well, it's in the interests of the stump, if you like, to try and stay alive by hooking itself up to the neighbouring trees. But why would they allow this dying or nearly dead sort of grandpa tree, grandmother tree in the forest to stay alive? And there's a suggestion that it might be advantageous to them to basically keep using the roots, keep using that system as an extension of their own root systems, which might be useful when there's not much water around, for example.
And, you know, could it mean something about the way we care for forests in the future?
Potentially, yeah. So it might feed into the way that water is used across the forest, but also particularly for these kauri trees in New Zealand, there's a disease that threatens them. And so if they're directly sharing water between their root systems, it might affect the spread of pathogens like that. So there are multiple considerations for people who study and work with forests, if it's not just through kind of chemical and fungal links, but if they're directly connected under the soil through grafted roots like this.
I think that was actually iScience, wasn't it? That was in.
It is.
Yes.
It's in the journal iScience, which is published by Cell Press.
I thought somebody gave me a wrong script. So because another paper published this morning in the journal Science concerns the giant black hole at the centre of our galaxy. So what's new in the middle of the Milky Way?
Well, the middle of the Milky Way is a fascinating place, Geraldine. It's even though though it's a good 26,000 light years away, we know a surprising amount of what's going on. And this is a new study into what happens around the big black hole that's there. So, you know, our little old solar system where we spin on our little rock around a star is actually out on a limb of the galaxy. And this galaxy is spinning, much like our tiny solar system does, quite fast, actually. The whole galaxy spins around this big, heavy thing at the galactic center. And that's the supermassive black hole that's there. And this paper was all about what happens in the region immediately around it. There are individual stars that orbit around that big, heavy black hole in the middle of the galaxy, which allow us to study exactly what's happening there. And that was the subject of this particular paper.
And the astronomers have concentrated on one specific star, haven't they? If we just finished there.
That's right. Yeah, there's a star called SO2, which actually takes a good 16 years to go around the black hole, which is a useful period because it goes past in a human lifetime. So they can monitor it and get a good picture of exactly what its path is, which is useful because it can show us how space-time is warping around the event horizon of that black hole. This is a prediction from Einstein's theory of general relativity, and it allows us to really directly put that theory to the test. And we can hear a little bit here from Professor Andrea Ghez from the University of California in Los Angeles, who's on the Science Show tomorrow, actually. And she was speaking to Robin Williams and explaining what it does when the star comes very close to the black hole, what it does to the light that comes from it.
The first thing that the star allows us to examine is how light makes its way from the star to us. In other words, how does the curvature of space and time, which is the prediction of Einstein, affect the appearance of the light? And there's a prediction that's called the gravitational redshift, which predicts that the wavelength will be much longer than one would expect from Newton's laws, because that photon, that bit of light, has to lose some energy as it climbs out of the gravitational potential.
And that's Professor Ghez speaking to Robin Williams. Thank you very much indeed, Jonathan.
No worries, Hildy.